Talk to you for just a few moments and really build some expectation for this coming Saturday. Those of you that may be guests joining us, or those that haven't been here recently, we've been invited to participate in something that the Lord is doing. Amen. And so this coming Saturday, starting at 8 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock a.m. Sunday morning, will be 12 hours of a prayer encounter. Okay, so three of y'all join the rest of them right now. Just come on, just. Kelvin, did you say, let's do it? Okay, so you're going to be with me the whole 12? He said, let's do it, Lord, from 8 to 10. So I'm just sharing with you what God had really spoke to me concerning it and share a couple of things in regards to it, and then we're going to end out our time today. Familiar passage of scripture that we've also made part of the foundation for this, and thank you, Pastor Marisa, for sharing that scripture. It always helps to add scriptural context, always. So it's in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. Familiar verse. Say familiar verse. Yeah, it is. Most people know it. Most people quote it. And thank you, son. 2 Chronicles 7, starting at verse 11. Start there. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's palace and successfully completed all that he had planned to do in the house of the Lord in the place. Just a quick note that really speaks to legacy. David knew that he would not build a place for God. God told him no. There's blood on your hands. No. David, being the kind father that he was, you know what he did? He laid up everything, stored up everything that Solomon would need to build it. Isn't that wonderful? He didn't say, well, if I don't get to build it, ain't nobody gonna build it in my family or anything like that. But he set all that aside. So it says here that Solomon finished it. Then it says, then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. I believe this is a house of sacrifice, y'all.
Yes, it is.
I believe this is a house of sacrifice. I believe God has chosen this house. You know, we could be anywhere. We could be anywhere. Did you say fast?
Facts.
Oh, I thought you said we could be anywhere fast. We could be anywhere. And yet, oftentimes God says, I want to make this place a habitation. I want to make this place a place where I am known. Where I am known. And so, in my prayer time and in reading through this passage, I just believe that God has chosen this place. It says, and then he says this, and this is what a key that I want to say to those of you that are going to be participating, particularly in the 12 hours. The 12-hour time, it really is a sacrifice. A lot of folks are going to bed by 8 o'clock. Certainly by 11. And yet, I believe that God has called us to a 12-hour time of prayer. Now, we've done 4 hours. We've done like 10 to 2. Some of you remember those times, 10 to 2. And, you know, folks was barely making it till 2. But we did it. And we saw the rewards of it. We saw the blessings of it. There's something about sacrificing. And I'm not saying you have to stay awake the whole time. You don't have to stay awake the whole time. But it's about giving yourself to a sacred time that God has set aside, that God has called us to. So after all of this is done, hear what God's commitment is, that I believe is also something he wants us to understand about this time that we're about to have. He says, if I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send a pestilence among my people. Now, I want you to understand, what he's saying there is, if I have enacted judgment on people, if I have enacted judgment on a nation, that's what he's saying. These things speak to God's judgment. Then he says this. If I send among my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. I just choose to believe that these 12 hours are going to be significant. There are others that are going to be coming. I spoke with retired Judge Randy Rogers, and he said, I'll be there. He said, I'll commit to be there 8 to 10. See, we're going to be asking you to commit to a time frame when we do this. So you don't have to be here the whole time. Maybe a few of us will. But we're asking to make sure that we have the whole time covered in prayer. The full 12 hours covered in prayer. And the prayer time will be prayer. It'll be worship. It'll be praise. It'll be the word. But mainly prayer. Mostly prayer. Amen? And so, I believe that's going to be in this place, those 12 hours, that God is going to move mightily. It goes on and says, for I now have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Yeah. I just choose to believe, and I don't believe it, I know it, that God's presence is here perpetually.
Yes, it is.
His presence is here perpetually because we steward this that way. Many of you don't know that when we come in and we call ourselves doing a sound check, we get messed up every sound check. Because it's like he's here. He's always here. And when we come in, he says, okay, they're here. I'm ready. Y'all ready? And from the moment we start, God is moving. We had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time. So I want to encourage us, because even in this passage that I just read, where he says, if my people were called by my name, he's saying, if they will, meaning us. I want to tell you that I believe that this coming Saturday evening is an invitation for collaboration with God. It's an invitation for collaboration with God.
Come on.
Throughout the scriptures, God has always looked for a people who he can collaborate with. When he sent Jesus, it was to save us so that we could collaborate with him. He could collaborate with us. The Bible tells us, and this is what Jesus says. He says, that which you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, already bound in heaven. It's already bound in heaven. That which you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. Now, the context of that is not that you and I say it so he does it. No. We live in a place in our worship and in our relationship with him that he helps us to know. He helps us to know. And it's like the chorus that we sing, and I'm sure we're going to sing this because it's a prayer that we sing. Lord, we pray in your name, give us now the words to say that will move the gates of hell so your church would prevail. Let the words of your heart be in us. Let the words of your heart be in us. Let the words of your heart be in us. Sometimes we don't know, except that we understand the power and the privilege, of praying in the Holy Ghost. Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. We're going to pray a lot in the Spirit, y'all. In them 12 hours. And we're not going to always be corporate because we got a pretty large place here. So, you're going to have time for your own personal prayer time and that type of thing. But then there's going to be times when we come together strategically for corporate prayer on certain assignments. And what I have found is this. We can pray with our understanding, but the more powerful, perfect prayer is praying in the Spirit. It says it right here. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. We do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. Man, that's powerful. Too deep for words. Meaning we don't have the vocabulary. It says, and he who searches the hearts and knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. There's no hit or miss there. Searches the hearts. He who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Let the words of your heart be in us, that we may speak forth your will in the earth. That's the collaboration, y'all. That's the collaboration. It's going to be 12 hours of collaborating, Pastor Hadman, where we sit, we hear, we say. We sit, we hear, we pray. We sit, we hear, we sing. We sit, we hear, we praise. And then the writer says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. I don't believe, let me say it differently. I've learned to pause and not just say stuff. So I want to say it differently. Every one of you has the gift of intercession. Every one of you is an intercessor. Set aside the gift of it. Every one of you is an intercessor, meaning you, I, we all have the opportunity. We all get the invitation. And in that invitation, we posture ourselves to hear him, hear what he says, say what he said, and then you see the result. Isn't it interesting that Jesus said this? I only do that which I see my Father do. I only do that which I see my Father do. Meaning, he sees it, he does it. We see it, we do it. We hear it, we say it. That is working in concert and collaboration in this place of intercession. We will pray out of what we've learned to understand as what we call pivotal prayers. Here's what we say, or what I say about pivotal prayers. Pivotal prayers are prayers that come from a mature place in the spirit. You grow to pray them over time. How many of you know that the best prayers are some of the shortest prayers you could ever pray? How many of you know that in an instant of a moment when you need God to respond, it's not time, oh, thou holy one, most gracious God. And you find yourself in a situation, you know, it could be in, you know, in your car, and all of a sudden something happens, you're, you know, oh, most holy one. No, that ain't what you do. Where do you go in your prayer and your intercession? What do you do? Jesus! Help me, Jesus. And sometimes we do say the blood of Jesus. That's the protection. And it's a wonderful thing. Hear me now. I'm almost done. I said I wasn't going to preach, but I didn't say I wasn't going to teach. A wonderful thing is this. The moment you speak it, things are happening. Things are happening. And things happen even when things, you know, you don't even have to be born again for God to come to your aid. Now, this is not a license to it, but you don't have to be born again for God to come to your aid. Particularly when his hand is on your life and you don't know it's on your life, but he has a calling on your life, so he's going to make sure you get past your foolishness or whatever it is you're dealing with to arrive in the place to fulfill. I'm not going to look at anybody. I'm just going to look up to the heavens. But I'm telling you, I got some images in my mind. I'm driving one time a van when I'm playing with this band, and I ain't got no business playing with this band. And I'm driving, and there's this young lady who was dating one of the guys in the band. She rode with me to get the van because they used her credit card or something. I'm driving this van. It's in the middle of traffic, and I'm telling you, right in the middle of it, of this traffic, an 18-wheeler swerved over and hit the van. All I knew was to say, Jesus. What she knew... Well, she started speaking in tongues. How many know that's a great combination? Jesus and tongues. I don't know what she said. All I know is in a matter of seconds, it all stopped. We're on the highway. The van, by the time it ended up, the van was going the opposite way of the traffic on the freeway. I don't know how that angel did that, but I'm grateful. Amen. Pivotal prayers are not always these well-crafted prayers. And so I want to share that with you, because when we come together, you see, it isn't how loud you can pray or how long you can pray. It's whatever he says, we say back to him. That's what this time is about. An invitation for collaboration with God. You grow to pray these prayers over time, and they're based out of the intimate relationship with God, meaning the more you talk to him, the less you have to say to him. The more you're in a relationship with someone, the less you really have to say to them over time. They know you, you know them. Pivotal prayers move past cliches and catchphrases to meaningful exchanges with God. Pivotal prayers are not complex. They are often simple and to the point. So expectation for our time. We're going to look through and we're going to read through some of the prayers in the scriptures of Nehemiah, of Daniel, in the Psalms, 1 Samuel 30, 2 Chronicles 20, Job chapter 1, Luke 22. We're going to look at these passages of scripture. And so let me end with this example. I got 8 minutes. Let me end with this example. Acts chapter 12. Perfect example of saints praying and God moving. Saints praying and God's moving. Saints praying and God moves. Saints praying and supernatural things are happening. Supernatural things are happening. So, in Acts chapter 12, yeah, so here we go. Let me just read through this here real quick. Now, about the time that Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them, and he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword, and when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread, and when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard them, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. Four quads. How many know how many that is? How many know? Four quads. Anybody? So he's guarded by 16 soldiers. 16 soldiers. It says here in verse 5, so Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. Prayer was being made by the church. Prayer was being made fervently. Say fervently. Fervently. It's in the book of Luke when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying. It says, when in agony, he prayed more earnestly, or he prayed more fervently. I want to submit to you that during our 12 hours, there will be times when we're going to have to pray fervently. Where we're going to really have to press in. I don't know about you, but collaborate with him, God, sometimes you got to feel what he feels. And if you're not feeling some kind of way right now with everything that's going on in our nation, in our world, I just want to encourage you to get a little closer. Get a little closer. If you're not moved to tears, if you're not moved to a sense of anguish around what's happening, you might want to get a little closer. You see, Nehemiah, when he heard about the wall, he wept. He was a broken man because he identified with something that he wasn't even there. Yet he had family and history there. The body of Christ, the family of God, is all over the world. And while you and I may not suffer through some of the things that others do, when you're family, you can feel it. And in this place of intercession, even within these 12 hours, I believe Holy Spirit who prays according to the will of God is going to lead us into some places of fervent prayer. It says here, praying fervently. And on the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell. And Peter and struck Peter's side and roused him, saying, "Get up quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and put on your sandals." And so he did. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and continued to follow, and he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. And when they had passed the first and second guard, they came to an iron gate. Now, I love this right here. They came to an iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. Motion censored. It opened by itself. Is it possible that during our times of intercession that some doors are going to open by themselves? I believe that. I believe that many doors are going to, 12 hours of seeking God, many doors are going to open. Not just for you, but for your loved one. Many doors are going to open concerning many different situations and circumstances that are going on. Can you believe with me for that? It says that when they got to the door, it opened. You see, for some of us, you just got to get close enough. You know, you go to Walmart, you go to Costco's, you go to those stores that are motion sensitive, most of them are now. But how many of you know when you're on the other side of the parking lot walking towards that door, it's not opening? It only opens within a certain proximity of you and that door. And so I just want to submit to you that some doors are going to open all by themselves. It says, and they went out and they went along the way, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter came to himself, says, "Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod." All that the Jewish people were expecting. And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. So I'm going to stop it right there, because you know how this story goes. They're praying for Peter's deliverance. We're going to get the opportunity to pray for deliverance. We're going to get the opportunity to pray for deliverance. We're going to get the opportunity to pray for deliverance. And in this night of collaboration with God, he's going to help us with doors that he's going to open, doors that we need to open, and doors that he's going to close, and doors that we need to close. Peter shows up, and he's at the gate. Was it Rhoda? Is that her name? Goes out to the gate. "It's me, Peter." Now, instead of her opening up the gate, She's so excited, she runs back and tells them, Peter's at the gate. But they don't believe her because they're praying. Baby, we're praying for him to get out. He's not out yet. We're not done praying. Here's what I just simply want to say. God is going to do some things within this span of time, these 12 hours, that by the time those 12 hours are done, and we have a nice breakfast together, and you leave here, you're going to know and you're going to see the incredible things that God has invited us to collaborate with him on. Can we believe for that? Yes. Can we believe for that?